Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
So how are we feeling? Expecting any Friday news dumps today?
I'm not. No, they're all... I mean, today... Yesterday was the day that it would have happened. Today, they're just kind of making their trip down to a game they're going to get destroyed in.
So the reason... Oh, okay, that was bleak.
What?
I'm not saying you're wrong, but that was bleak. I will tell you, 2 weeks ago, it was Myles Garrett saying, I'd like to know the plan or I might want out. Last week, it was Deshaun Watson's latest restructuring. So, I'm just saying, there seems to be some sort of... Oh, and by the way, the week before, Miles' trade thing was when he's like, he gave the endorsement of all endorsements, which is, as long as they're here, I want to be here. And then a week later, he said something that might run contrarian to that. But we got a three-week streak of Browns Friday news dumps.
I think Thursday was their Friday. That's why we got the Jeremy Fowler story. I think that's what that was.
Yeah, but the Deshaun thing was not typical. Like, that was a... We don't want anyone talking about this, so we're going to bury it on 5 o'clock. So I think you might be underestimating the Browns' ability to make news when no one's talking.
I think what they want is... Because remember, when you hear news and you hear things happening, and like Myles Garrett did not have this part planned. I'm not making that suggestion. But when you have like the Jeremy Fowler report, when you have everything with the Deshaun Watson restructuring, things only get out when they want them to get out, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's because they don't want you talking about the actual game. They want you talking about anything but the actual game because they're not competitive in these games. And so I think the Jeremy Fowler report yesterday did enough damage. So I think that's it's enough things. Like when I'm doing the pregame tomorrow, I'll talk a lot about that, I would imagine. I'll talk a lot. I mean, what am I going to do? Am I going to spend 3 hours talking about Bailey Zappi and what the expectations are in a 18-point, now 20-point underdog game?
I think you should do it out of spite. Here's the funny thing.
I can't. I took preseason games more seriously than I'm going to take tomorrow's pregame.
I like the idea that the Browns are like, okay, Sundays and now Saturdays are so abhorrent, and we have such little look for that we're just gonna drop things on Friday so people talk about anything other than the game. By the way, they're so non-competitive, we're not talking about the games anyways. It would be galactic thinking if that's what you're doing, because like in reality,
we need something to talk about?
Do
right?
you think the Browns can be more competitive than the 21-point dogs? I think it was 20.5-point dogs the last time I checked. 20.5-point dogs that Vegas says they are. 216-474-0092. Doug, no. Mike, no. Derek, no. Okay, I guess that's a topic. I guess we'll have to get to a new topic.
Okay.
Right? Like, the game is not...
I'm ready for a new topic.
Is this a noteworthy game in any way?
No.
Other than it's
well,
quarterback
for Ravens,
number 40.
For the Ravens, it is.
Yeah, but I don't think... Okay, I think Browns fans would love to get that win.
Like, if you're a Baltimore fan, you're glued in. This is a massive game for you. Even as 20-point favorites, like, you can't sleep on this game.
Well, no, I mean, but they expect to win.
Of course
so they're
they
sleeping
do.
On the game because they expect to win by 3 touchdowns.
No, but they're actually like breaking down real things within their game and the construct of the game and trying to figure out
how do we stop this Zappi guy?
Not necessarily, but they like every game they go into with a question of like, is it going to be a Lamar passing day? Is it going to be a Derrick Henry running game? What's the balance going to look like? And then they go through a million conversations.
That sounds awful.
No, I mean, it's football. It sounds like fun. It's football.
This is like trying to break down Ohio State versus NIU. Actually, no, it's not fair because NIU beat Notre Dame this year. It's like Ohio State versus Akron. Sorry, Akron. You took a stray there. I love you.
You also are thinking about Northern Illinois a lot because of Notre Dame.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in my cabeza today. But, no, I mean, this is like when we would try and bring up, like, hey, Ohio State Akron, what do we think? And I would make a logical pitch of, well, Akron's got a nice front four. They got a couple pieces here or there. I think they could maybe keep it within the spread. And everyone would just go, oh, that's nice. Like that's how Baltimore should be treating this. That this is as much of a that's nice as a game can get in the NFL.
I'm not saying you're wrong. Again, 3 hours tomorrow, I got loaded up with guests because I don't know what else to talk about tomorrow.
But hey, you know what? While we talk about how unimportant this game is, Myles Garrett, DPOY, let's get on board, everybody. I'm sorry, I'm just following the Browns' lead from yesterday.
I was going to say, this is not the vibe that you gave me in the pre-show, so I'm very confused right now.
Yeah, that's because I'm going to let you make the case, and then I'm just going to argue with you about that case.
I mean, it's not... Listen, the case I'm making here, and why this would actually be... I should point, this should actually be a bad thing for Browns fans, the idea that if he gets third, fourth, fifth, whatever it ends up being, and his FanDuel odds, we're just using FanDuel, right?
Yeah.
I think Myles Garrett is fifth right now, mm-hmm. as far as the DPOY is concerned. Patrick Surtain is number one. He's overtaken T.J. Watt, who's number two. TJ Watt's numbers are worse than Myles Garrett's across the board, but the reason why TJ Watt's numbers are where they are and the DPOY consideration and why he's led for half the season is that the Steelers are a good football team and the Browns aren't. Mm-hmm. And so like, if I'm Myles Garrett, I should be looking at right now as if I'm winning back-to-back DPOY awards, but the reason why he's not is because the Browns are a three-win team. This is what I'm talking about and what Myles is talking about when he says he wants to be on a competitive football team. He is getting robbed of all-time achievements by being on this roster right now.
So in this way, the way you're kind of dealing with this, it's more important to win for Myles because of the personal accomplishments?
It's not more important to win for the personal accomplishments. It's more important to Myles that he gets both, that he wins and he gets the personal accomplishments. And the fact that he's being robbed from the personal accomplishments because we didn't have a competent quarterback and didn't have a good enough offense, yeah, that's enough of a reason for Myles.
I just can't.
In the big picture of things, why you lose Myles will be like this conversation right here, the DPOY and the lack of consideration that he's getting relative to the numbers that he's putting up, a near identical season from last year. That's tough. That's a tough pill to swallow.
You know, there's a part of me that the fear of losing Myles. I don't know, maybe it's because 3 weeks ago, in fairness, the trade deadline cracked open the conversation. So that's the first time I ever really thought about it. And then 2 weeks ago, Myles put it out there himself, and I'm a little fatalistic about where the Browns are to some degree. So I guess if like the cost of Myles not winning the DPOY is why he won't be here in the future. I don't know. I just don't have the fear of loss as much anymore just because I've really started to be resigned to if you're going to build this thing right, you probably need to go the long route.
Okay, because that's a far change from where you were 6-7 weeks ago when you said you'd give up your fandom if they traded
him. Well, Myles opened up the door. It was speculation. It was because it wasn't out there as a report. It was speculation that Myles has got to be upset about, and so it didn't make any sense to me. Now that Myles has opened the door and that maybe his interests and the Browns' long term interests don't align, I have to be more realistic about this. And I'll just be honest with you. I'll be happy if Myles were to have like a 5-sack day on Sunday and he catapults himself. The Browns still lose. But he catapults himself into the DPOY. I'll be happy for him. I'm not going to feel anything, though. I'm not going to feel some sort of civic pride. I'm not going to be like, man, what a year. No, they're still going to be a 3-win team. And it's impossible for me. One, this organization loves them some regular season awards so much so that we're now campaigning for them in broad daylight as they have the last 2 years.
Yeah, we got nothing else, and clearly Myles does care about this.
Yeah, but here's the thing: I just don't care. Like it does. Like last year meant something to me, and part of it was because you were winning. If you were winning, and he had insane stats, and it felt like it's time. Like, they have found a way to not give it to Miles so many times. And literally, Miles is kind of like LeBron. And by the way, you can say the same thing about Micah Parsons. You can say the same thing about TJ White. You can say it about five defenders. That on any given year, you can give it to one of these five defenders, and you would be justified in doing so.
Sure.
But last year, you had 11 wins. The way that they won the 11 wins was incredibly impressive. And Miles had a ridiculous season.
Right,
so I was in on it. Now that it's the second one, all right, it's the second one, you would have had a losing season. I don't know how much I can care about it.
Okay, but whether this is the DPOY or whether it's league MVP, I mean, and you said it yourself, we can have four different guys that win this award any given season. The voters clearly take precedence on and put an importance on the idea that winning ball clubs have more say with who wins these actual awards. Like, mm-hmm. Joe Burrow should be winning league MVP this year. He's not going to win. He's going to lose to Lamar. He's going to lose to Josh Allen. Either one of them, because they had a much better regular season. And the same thing's happening right now with DPOY with Miles Garrett.
And
Miles knows it, though. Miles knows it.
I guess some of this is, I don't think there's a should. Like, because you use the word should when it comes to Joe Burrow. And I think, I think Sunday's pretty important for him because he's going against the Steelers. If you win that game and you get into the playoffs, there's a lot there, right? But, like, I don't think there's a should. Like, there's something that happened when TJ Watt threw a Titanic size meltdown last year because he didn't get the award. This is a guy who's won two already. And I thought, what an ass clown. Like, what a, because again, to me, it's not insulting of the fans, it's insulting of his other players. And it's okay to be privately disappointed, but the second that TJ Watt turned on the waterworks about losing what would have been his third DPOY because he thinks he's entitled to it, it really started to turn. Here's the other thing. I've watched Kevin Stefanski win two Coach of the Years, and I've watched people hold that up like the Holy Grail, and I've watched an average coach be slightly above average. So
that's different than Miles.
Honestly,
Miles, Kevin Stefanski's not going into the Hall of Fame based off of two Coach of the Year awards. Miles, at the end of his career, the difference between winning one and two is massive, and how you're perceived among your own decade and your own peers is massive. Matching T.J. Watt in that two category,
why do I care about
matter.
That? Why do I, as a fan, care about
nobody?
That,
but it all matters for how Miles perceives everything. Like, if you're done with Miles, that's fine. You can done with Miles.
I'm not done, but if that matters more to him,
the idea that he's going to get robbed of this DPOY because he's on the Browns and they only won three games matters in the big picture whether or not Miles decides to stay.
And I would retort to Miles, what role did you have in the failure? And again, I want to make it clear that we're doing this under the kind of working premise about how much this matters to Miles staying here, not just how much the award matters.
It's the only thing I think that really does matter in the big picture
but
conversation.
But I'll be honest with you. Like, I've heard, Miles is really mad at this guy on the offense, right? Miles doesn't like Baker Mayfield. All right. Show me where you led the team to an 8-9 season in Baker's last season. Show me where you, with Deshaun, whether you did like him, didn't like him personally, I don't care. Show me what you did on 3-13. And again, I'm not trying to say, bleep Miles and I'm done with Miles, but I'm not going to campaign. Yes, TJ Watt's team won 10 games. That's probably all they're going to win. They're going to go to the playoffs. That should be a defining factor in it, even if TJ Watt is a little overrated. Micah Parsons, probably not going to win it this year in any way, because Micah Parsons is on a below 500 Dallas team. Here's the thing, I just can't be upset about it. And even when he wins, that'll be nice for Miles. It'll have nothing to do with my feelings in the state of the Browns, which at this point are, what a bunch of dodos and what a waste of time this year was.
Okay. I mean, it's loud and clear. I got what you're saying. I just think this matters if you keep Miles or doesn't keep Miles, because this is going to be a big conversation for Miles.
And you might be right, but should that make us feel better?
We know how Miles thinks. Like, I can't change how we know who he is. He cares about these things.
But with that, like, does it make you feel better?
There's a reason why Stefanski, Bubba Ventrone, all these guys are going out there and speaking the way that they're speaking. It's because they know. Let's wear the T-shirt, Bubba. Yeah. I know. But
that's
a
Bubba move right there. I'm going to wear the T-shirt of one of the best players who just said he might demand a trade.
They know he cares about this. They know he does. You know he cares about this. I know that you don't care about it at all. You made that abundantly clear, and that's fine, but Miles does. And if it's part of keeping Miles here is the idea that you're like, at the end of the season, we won three games and it cost you a DPOY, that's going to sting for somebody that cares about the individual awards.
It's a symbol to me. It is a symbol of focusing on anything but winning. It really is. And that's honestly why it annoyed me so much with TJ Watt. It's like, bro, you haven't won a playoff game since Obama was president. Maybe give a damn about that, right? And so there's just a part of it. And I'm not saying Miles is doing this. I don't want to accuse anybody in the organization of doing this. I'm going to couch this as much as I can. But it bugs me immensely that they keep saying things that allude to how crestfallen they are about this year, and then they campaign for regular season awards. No matter what the purpose is, they campaign for it as an organization. They put stock into that in terms of how we should feel about the job they've done instead of, I don't know, actual results. And I realize that, this is about as cynical as it's going to get with me. But I just continue to hear an organization pound the drum on anything matters but the results, and the results have just not gotten it done the last 4 years.
I think they're just looking at the big picture of it. Big picture of it. Can we make a big push for Myles Garrett? Can we show Myles that we're behind him?
But how's that different than the whole thing of we're going to do a Friday news dump to distract you from talking about this meaningless game?
Listen, it's not like they spent 30 minutes out here campaigning and they're sending you buttons in the mail for Myles. It was a 10-second clip from Kevin Stefanski.
And Bubba Ventrone. And Bubba Ventrone wearing a Myles Garrett T-shirt.
Collectively, they spent, 30 seconds? A minute? Minute and a half?
Well, yeah.
You're acting like they did like a 20-minute diatribe on Myles Garrett's
greatness.
Well, because
they've been talking about it for multiple weeks.
It was enough to go ahead and tell Myles, we care about what you care about, which clearly Myles cares about the DPOY.
You're a three-win team.
You're
it's
a bad
look.
You're a three-win team in a season that isn't going anywhere and is
table.
Done.
You're pounding the table.
Pounding the table.
For a regular season award.
How long was that clip from Stefanski?
And you're 3-13.
How long was the clip from Stefanski?
Talked about it like 3 or 4 times. He was asked 3 or 4 questions about it.
It was not the majority of anything.
So was Bubba Ventrone. So was Myles' majority of his press conference yesterday.
It was not.
A majority of Myles was. At least a majority,
yeah,
four of
Myles
the six answers we have.
Myles cares about it.
Yes, and I wish he cared about winning.
And they know he cares about it.
I wish he cared about winning as much as he did.
30 seconds of a press conference does not matter to them if it thinks that it's going to keep Myles here long term. At least give you an opportunity to keep him.
When at the end of the season, after hearing everyone.
How bad it would have gone if Stefanski didn't say a word about Myles Garrett, wanting the DPOY? Myles would take that wrong.
Yeah, and here's the thing. If you communicate like a real leader behind the scenes, it wouldn't be an issue.
Sometimes you do have to publicly campaign for your guys.
Oh, I just...
Yes, you do.
And when you know the awards matter,
you have to do these things.
You don't have to. No, winning organizations don't have to. Mike Tomlin didn't have to.
Is
Mike Tomlin a campaigner for TJ Watt?
Harbaugh has talked about Lamar in recent weeks for the MVP. They're all doing this right now.
How much of Mike Tomlin's push, which I've never heard him say a damn word about TJ Watt winning a DPOY?
I'm sure I can find something on there. I'm sure I can.
216-474-0092. We got quick hits coming up. We got Mike Mayock, who's going to be on the call for Westwood One Browns Ravens tomorrow. Jason Pinkston, former Browns offensive lineman, coming up at 4. And we got Daryl Ryder coming up at 6. Should Myles Garrett get more consideration in the Defensive Player of the Year Award? And are you worried it might be another, mark against the Browns if he doesn't win it because of this losing season? More on that, including Myles' own words on the season he's having next on 92.3 The Fan. Who, as JP pointed out, on FanDuel right now is 5th in odds for the Defensive Player of the Year Award. And that combined with Myles talking about it, Jim Schwartz has talked about it, Bubba Ventrone has talked about it. Do you actually think it helps his odds? Because I don't think we covered that in the first segment.
You mean the betting odds, or you mean like the odds to actually win the award?
Yeah, like do you think it actually, when coaches do this, do you think it actually helps visibility?
I think stuff like that right there, it goes a long way. And I know it's like you're voting on the award, you should probably have an awareness of how often Myles Garrett is double teamed, but pointing out little things like that often gets overlooked in the Myles Garrett versus TJ Watt discussion, that Myles is double teamed twice as often as TJ Watt, is something that Stefanski, first off, needs to be the guy highlighting, because it sounds awful when Myles does it himself. And yeah, I do think opens people's eyeballs that don't pay attention the way that we do to Myles.
I will tell you, Marcus Mosier and Mitchell Schwartz, former Browns tackle, got into a stats argument yesterday on Twitter.
Also sounds right up my alley, for being honest.
It was from Bill Barnwell's tweet or piece where Bill kind of broke down the Defensive Player of the Year awards and was going through all the different categories. And so they were arguing pass rush win rate versus chip rate. And I'll be honest with you, I was like, this is just not football.
Well,
this is such antithetical.
That's how Myles won it last year, is he won it in those type of numbers.
Well, yeah, and so what's interesting is Myles also has the traditional stats this year.
This year. Last year he didn't.
Which I think is an interesting conversation when you have both. But what's interesting about it to me is it's like, it goes back into where it's like, well, he's got 3,000 yards passing, 40 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. And somebody goes, well, what about his QBR? I'm like, oh, I'm just exhausted. Can we just all agree on three stats that matter on every position and just move forward on the conversation? I actually think that would help.
I like the nitty gritty of it all. I do.
Because the problem is...
But I come from a baseball world. In baseball, we care about things like that.
And here's the thing.
Football doesn't always translate the same way.
That's
but.
Totally killed the conversation in baseball, too. Because if you can't agree on the universal language of traditional stats versus advanced stats,
but everyone prioritizes different things. No, that's the real problem of it all.
But I think what happens is because this is kind of my word of warning, not to you, but to like really hardcore football people, is it's like when you get into, well, I like OPS and batting average and home runs and RBI. And I'm a WRC plus guy, and I'm this and I'm that.
Sure, sure.
It just turns into, well, you're not even agreeing on the conversation.
Yeah, my problem, you know what, just something that actually hurt me a lot this year in the conversation around just whether or not, you know, sacks are the greatest thing ever in the world, because I've always been kind of down on sacks in general, but really kind of hammer that home was the game Miles had against the Chargers. We had three sacks in four plays, mm-hmm. and then, you know, you turn around and it's like, well, what happened on that drive? Oh, Herbert completed a 45-yard bomb, and then they all of a sudden were in the end zone and they were scoring points on that drive. And mm-hmm. it's like, oh, in a drive where he got three sacks and you can say dominated, they still found pay dirt. Okay.
So I think, well,
that's tough.
All right, in fairness, though, and now I think we are officially having the stats conversation.
No, we don't have to have a stats conversation. Well, no. It just is what it is.
But my problem is a lot of those other stats are eye of the beholder. Like, I have a friend who's a linebacker. I actually think it was Ben Lieber. I shouldn't say a friend. If somebody I know who went through a chip rate, basically graded every play, I think it was actually of T.J. Watt and Micah Parsons,
okay,
and came away with a completely different chip rate percentage for both players than the actual stat itself.
Sure.
And then if you go from there to PFF, they've got different stats. And if you go from there to Football Outsiders,
yeah.
I think that's where it just becomes cumbersome. Whereas a fan, I can understand, he's got 18 sacks. That sounds good.
Last segment, excuse me, you asked me whether or not Mike Tomlin would say any of these things.
Mm.
I got a million instances online. Which one do you want? Do you want Mike Tomlin saying that TJ...
Was it from this year?
No, none from this year. Mm. Hasn't been this year. He
a statute of limitations.
Yeah, okay.
Because
yeah.
It goes against my argument.
By the way, did you... Mike Tomlin, in last year, in voicing support for TJ Watt, was on Twitter campaigning for him to be Defensive Player of the Year, not just through the press conferences, where when asked if he should be Defensive Player of the Year, he said TJ's visiting from another planet. He's got freakishly unique talent coupled with freakishly unique work habits, which in my opinion is Defensive Player of the Year quality. And I got multiple years of Mike Tomlin voicing this, but the Twitter account was interesting because I didn't even know Mike Tomlin was on Twitter. Yeah, and he's on Twitter going ahead and voicing out his support for his guy. Like, this is just a thing coaches do.
So, but I think my point is, I don't think it actually matters. I really, like, in terms
you're hammering them for doing it. This is the thing all coaches seem to do.
But yeah, but here's the thing. Mike Tomlin can do that. He hasn't had a losing season in ever.
Okay, but last segment you said he wouldn't do this. He clearly, everyone does.
Okay, then I was wrong.
Okay.
But when it comes on that specific point, that doesn't change my feelings on the idea of when you're 3-13, I don't think it's good form. Because honestly, it's just, I'll be honest with you. Miles has always had kind of a yin and yang relationship in Cleveland, and some of it is Miles says a lot of things, and some of the things is Miles very much cares about Miles.
Yes,
and that goes all the way back to Jadeveon Clowney and who got the preferable assignments on defense and stuff like that. Now again, that's a bad look on Jadeveon Clowney for being a B and saying I'm only going in on third downs. I'm not trying to hammer Miles on that, but I guess. Like, I'm suspicious of the Browns' culture and their culture pills and whether they've taken them or not. And it's a player-led culture. At 3-13, I don't want Miles to win.
Yeah, but
I don't think you should win if you're 3-13. If you're 8-9, I probably feel different.
Okay.
If you're 3-13,
and we
Brent,
can,
you had an awesome season
team. We can get into that conversation, but the idea that we know how Miles is, we know how Miles acts. When all these coaches are campaigning for their guys, how do you think Miles would respond if nobody on the Browns said anything?
Did they say anything behind the scenes? Did they talk to him?
No, but that's not the public support.
Yeah.
You need to put these things out there. You need to, this is a part of the whole deal.
I think it's an imaginary rat race. I do.
It clearly matters. Every coach is doing it for a reason.
It matters to ego. Because, again, we're placating.
When they speak it, then all of a sudden you have articles talking about it, and you have, Cleveland.com will do a, where's Myles Garrett in the DPOY race? We'll talk about it. Everyone starts talking about it. It's based off of those press conferences.
Is TJ Watt incensed that this year Mike Tomlin said nothing on the matter?
I would bet he says something sooner than later. The best I could find from this year was him yesterday talking about how great TJ Watt is and talking about how he's a freakish athlete and he's one of a kind. And that was in regards to being named the Steelers MVP of the team by the media. So maybe he's just waiting to get around for the DPOY. But clearly he thought voting and talking about the Steelers MVP was worthy of consideration. So it clearly matters.
Brian and Chef.
CNBC's Big January continues with the JPM Healthcare Conference, the Amex Golf Tournament, Inauguration Day, and the World Economic Forum in Davos. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Field Village, welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys?
Going very well. What you got for us?
I was just kind of hitting on that point there. If you were saying if he wants to win Defensive Player of the Year, then he should be talking about what he contributed to the season. I think that if his stats are comparable to last year and he's leading sacks and tackles for losses, then that's him in his own way saying, look, I'm doing my part and I feel like I deserve this award or at least consideration for this award. And the coaches lobbying for him might be them trying to send a signal back to him through the public eye that they understand his frustration and maybe their way of acknowledging that he's doing his part.
It just feels a little fragile. And again, I'm not trying to hammer anyone specifically. I would rather not be campaigning for Miles on a 3-13 team, because I think, and Brian, we appreciate the call, buddy. We're up against it. Because what Brian was saying is true. Well, yeah, he's talking about his stats, but it was so much more effective last year when you looked at all those stats and you were on the number one defense on a team that won 11 games.
When you're on a team
that I can't remember a single stat in which they're top 10 defensively this year. And you're 3-13. It really is the depths of how bad they are this year that I think is just has me turned off to the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. And if we want to turn this into a how valuable is Myles Garrett when he plays this type of season, which is a DPOY type of season, and you're, 24th scoring defense in the NFL? We can have that discussion. We should have that discussion at some point.
216-474-0092. Should Miles be getting more consideration in the Defensive Player of the Year Award? Running there, he is fifth in the FanDuel Lodge. We'll get more on this later in the show, but when we come back, it's time for Quick Hits on 92.3 The Fan. Now it's time for Quick Hits. And did someone say Draft Watch? I think I just said Draft Watch. For the second straight day, we have an update here. Yesterday, it was that Drake May would be playing against Buffalo this weekend, increasing the Patriots' odds of getting a win against the Buffalo team. Sitting well today, the Titans jostling for the first pick as well. They've got better odds than the Browns do right now. They announced that Will Levis is starting Week 18 against the Texans. Did your confidence in getting the number one pick just take a hit because of Will Levis, as opposed to Mason Rudolph starting against the Texans this week?
They both stink, Nick.
They do.
They're both bad at football.
Yeah, but I think one might be worse. This is the boomer bust of Will Levis is interesting here, though.
He's really bad.
He is, but he can have that game. It's the Bailey Zappi
Mason
effect.
Mason Rudolph can have that game, too, though. We've seen him do it with the Steelers.
I think he stink on poo.
I think they're both stink on poo. The other thing here, we got an update on since we're talking about Tank and everything going on, the Patriots have now listed Drake May as questionable with a hand injury.
Are they bringing him back? Now are they throwing us off the scent here?
Well, I mean, that would be them telling us that we don't want to win this game.
I'm going to tell you, Gerard Mayo, win this game. Because Bob Kraft is going to be telling Gerard Mayo, dude, you're safe. You know, your Patriots family. No. Mike Vrabel's out there. All right? No, don't. Gerard, you got to win this game. Gerard Mayo has to win this game. Be smart about this, Gerard.
I think this is him being smart about it for the Patriots standpoint, because maybe you're right. Are you suggesting that all of the smoke over the past 24 hours that Robert Kraft is in love with Gerard Mayo is just to throw Gerard Mayo off the scent?
Yes,
100%. That would be brilliant if it's true. Oh, that makes more sense than anything.
Yeah.
That does make more sense than anything.
Occasionally, blind squirrel in a nut.
And this is that occasion.
Look, we got it.
All right.
Look at us.
NCAA considering allowing 5 years of eligibility for players in all sports moving forward. Per an NCAA official, the topic will continue to be discussed in early 2025. So instead of 4 years of eligibility, five could now be on the table, Nick. And actually, I love this for college football. I love this for college basketball. Now that we're in the spot where these kids can make millions of dollars, if you're not good enough to go to the pro, I like them being able to make money for another year.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's so weird when people get upset about like Ken McCormick going to 9 years to college. I don't care. Why would I care about that? Here's the thing. The on-field and on-court impact is, I think it actually is helping with parity. I think the longer these guys stay in, that extra year, that extra bit of juice is giving these guys a little bit more. And I think that's helping schools get that might, like maybe a Cam McCormick ends up at Charlotte and makes them marginally more competitive. I actually think it's a good thing for college football.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't want a situation where it's like everyone's a bunch of Danny Almontes that are just a million years older than everyone they're playing against, you know? Like, you got, how old was Dylan Gabriel? 24 years old?
Yes. Yeah.
That's tough. We're bordering on a bad spot there, but Dylan Gabriel's a great example of this because the man is not going to make any NFL dollars, okay? He is going to be a day three pick at best.
He might make like $3.
Total. Yeah. The whole in, everything, after agent fees. Agent fees are taxes, wild these days.
Depending on where you get drafted, taxes are a big thing.
Maybe $350. The point is that if he can make another $2 million because he has a fifth year instead of 4 years, that's a good thing.
Get it, King. Omaha! One Ohioan missed out on a jackpot, I believe is the word, a winning ticket for the $138 million lottery back in July. It was sold in Dayton, but the lottery has gone unclaimed, and the deadline to claim it has passed. What would your reaction be if you found out afterwards that you won $138 million but never checked your ticket, never claimed the lottery?
I don't know how you move forward in life.
Yeah. Because it's the odds of you winning are so slim anyways.
I mean, does that then make you think that if I did it once, I can do it again?
No.
Do you end up having so much cockiness around it because no. I was the chosen one once, I can be it another time?
No, I think you have to massively reassess your life and your priorities and your goals, and maybe you're just not meant for something special.
I got it. You start wearing those Life is Good t-shirts, and you tell yourself that money doesn't equate to happiness.
That'd be a lie.
You build a whole arc on the idea that money doesn't buy happiness, money doesn't matter in the big picture at all, and life is about adventure and memories and the friends that we make along the way, Nick.
Yeah, that's just what rich people say to throw us poors off the scent. I know exactly.
Hey, if you cost yourself $138 million because of that, that's the only option you have is to convince yourself that money does not matter in this world.
It's either that or you got to go into the mob, right? Like, you got, like, all right, getting it the
if
legitimate
you're
lucky
so
way.
So uninspired and lazy that you can't check the lottery tickets that you buy, that you're not going to be able
You had a medical condition and got like lost in your car?
Then you're still going to have that medical condition. The mob's not going to help you.
I mean, you can get better from a heart attack or a stroke. I'm just saying. Like, I'll be honest. It would be the most defeating thing that ever happened if I found out that I won $138 million and I didn't claim it. My life would be. I'd be so much better with $138 million. Let's just be honest.
You'd be out of our lives, Nick. Or would you?
No, I wouldn't. Omaha! 138, I'd stay.
I'd be gone.
I don't believe you. You and I are too addicted to this thing.
Do a tenth of that and I'm gone.
A tenth? $13 million?
Yeah, 13. I'm gone. Jax, I'll buy you a controller, a PlayStation controller, and say thanks for all the work you did.
JP, you have three separate shows.
And we are gone.
You have our show. Yeah. You have your Infinity Sports Network show, and you do the Browns pregame. You're addicted to the game, kid. It's time to admit it.
Something tells me life will move on. And I'll be $14 million.
Is it how everybody gets fired in radio and then like 3 years later?
No, you know how we're doing the rich thing? It's like you just tell yourself that money doesn't matter and all this. This is what I'm telling you right now. It might be full of it, but it's what I'm telling you right now. Omaha! Saquon, not playing on Sunday. Not his decision. This one came from the Eagles. He's 100 yards short of Eric Dickerson's rushing record. He's already got over 2,000. Nick, we talked about baseball and football last segment. This feels like the type of story that baseball fans would be livid about, but because we don't care about all-time football records, it really doesn't matter the same way.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out the relation to this to my Myles Garrett is winning a Defensive Player of the Year award on a 3-win team.
There's not one.
Well, no, I was thinking, like, I would understand it if Saquon was disappointed by it. It actually does kind of rob us of a cool moment. Like, that's, I mean, Eric Dickerson's had that record for 30 years now.
Oh, 40 at this point.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. It took 10 years off my life just saying that. But, trying to make myself younger. But, they're doing the right thing. You can't take any risk if you're the Eagles. This is zero-sum game. If it was almost any other team, I'd kind of be more inclined to be like, come on, give them a chance to break the record. The Eagles have to win a championship this year, or at the very least be in the Super Bowl.
I mean, they're in the driver's seat.
Yeah, they...
Kind of. Think about it. If you don't believe in the Vikings, because you think Sam Darnold is what it is, and that's my take on it, I just don't believe in the Vikings. Lions' defense is shot. They got backups to backups playing right now. They're allowing 32 points a game over the previous six. They can't stop anybody. They might have the greatest offense we've seen, even in the Mahomes era, the greatest offense we've seen in a decade, but they can't stop anybody. It might be right for the taking for the Eagles.
I still get it.
I hate that. By the way, I hate that take because I don't love this Eagles team, and everyone thinks Sirianni is an absolute dodo, and he is. But that might just be reality, right?
Hey, somebody's got to come out of the NFC.
Omaha!
Jimmy Buckets has lost his smile after weeks of hinting. Heat star Jimmy Butler gave a frank assessment of how he's feeling after the Heat fell to the Pacers 128-115 last night in South Beach.
I want to see me get my joy back from playing basketball. Wherever that may be, we'll find out here pretty soon. But I want to get my joy back. I'm happy here off the court, but I want to be back to somewhat dominant. I want to hoop, and I want to help this team win. Right now, I'm not doing it.
Can you get your joy back here on the court?
Probably not.
On the court. Can you get your joy back here on the court? His hair looks like Area 51. Have you seen a photo?
It's a lot. And he's doing a lot right now. He's going full Britney with a hair thing. Like, just
like
tamp
it
down
a
little
bit. Last year, yeah. And now he's got this thing going on.
The emo thing was funny, if not weird. Are you on Jimmy Butler's side, or are you on the Heat side in this pending divorce?
Oh, I mean, I'm on Jimmy's side. He deserves to get out. They haven't done enough to warrant him staying. But I don't think he's coming to the Cavs. I think anyone that's talking like that is just nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, the only way he comes to the Cavs is if he agrees to a buyout and then plays on like a vet min for the rest, which he's not going to do.
No.
Which again, feels a little... It feels a little bit talking out of both sides of your mouth when you're like, I just want to get my joy back and my money too. Like, I'm not, like, when you've already made $400 million in your career, which I think is actually what he's made, or somewhere in there, and you're at the point where you're desperate for a championship, but you're like, but I also need $50 million a year. It's like, dog, you're 34. You gotta, like, give me some priorities right now.
Jimmy reminds me of Miles in a way, where, like, when things are great, there's nobody better to be around.
Yep.
But when things stink, it just goes bad pretty fast.
And seemingly, and this is maybe the thing that I think sometimes gets on me with Miles, when things are great, everything's great. Nothing could ever touch us.
Yeah.
And when things are bad, it's everyone else.
Yeah.
Ah, how could this happen? It eats at me a little bit. Love Miles.
Omaha!
Chase Daniel, your favorite.
Our boss?
Not that one. The quarterback.
Oh, okay.
M-I-Z. Okay. That's what they do in Missouri. I lived in Missouri for 4 years.
They're just so happy that they can spell there.
That's the dude. It used to be the funniest thing in the world. You go to a bar, and there'd always be like this like random old guy that would sit across, and he would just all of a sudden randomly just, M-I-Z. And he'd wait for everyone to do the Z-O-U. And then he'd sip his beer as if he was like the proudest person in the world. That was my existence for 4 years. He weighed in on Joe Burrow on whether or not he can afford to miss the playoffs. And he says he can't automatically start dropping you tiers because you missed the playoffs when healthy for the first time. Is it fair if you start dropping Joe Burrow tiers because of the lack of wins?
Yes. You know why? Because where he is rarefied air. Where he is, like, there are some people who have him in the same category as Mahomes. But once we start to get into the minutiae of this, Mahomes has never been where Joe Burrow is. Mahomes' floor is the AFC title game. And that doesn't mean that Joe's a scrub all of a sudden. But, you know, like 2 years ago, we had crowned him as this is the adversary to Pat Mahomes. You don't make the playoffs this year. You get knocked out. Yeah, you haven't made the playoffs since, what, 3 years? Yeah, it's okay to assess that specifically for the quarterback.
Yeah, he still makes my tier, but it's a four-person tier. It's Lamar, it's Josh Allen, Mahomes, and Burrow. Maybe I should separate it and make Mahomes in a separate tier.
Yeah,
I have a hard time doing that right now.
But, like, there's multiple tiers. Because here's the thing. You can say, it's his worst season. You're only holding his greatness against him.
I don't feel good putting him in the tier after that. which is the, I mean, you start with Herbert and then make your way down. That's the Herbert. I don't even think Hurts is in that tier at this point.
You said Herbert so quick there, my ears were like, what did he say? Who's Herbert?
Justin Herbert.
Oh, Justin Herbert. Yeah, one guy. Of the best quarterbacks in the game. That guy. All right, guys, that is quick hits. As we move forward, Browns, Ravens. I've almost forgot about the game. Tomorrow in Baltimore to close out the season. And when we come back, our next guest, Mike Mayock, former NFL GM, longtime NFL Network draft analyst, will now, he's going to be on the call tomorrow. Westwood One for the Browns Ravens. We'll get his thoughts on the difference between Bailey Zappe and DTR, this lost season for the Cleveland Browns, and how to get it righted. All that and more next on 92.3 The Fan.